Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And by the way, if you subscribe this week, you still have a chance to get the Memorial Day special edition, and which I think you'll like. And we got a lot of good comments on that edition this week. Governor Jim Gilmore is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's former governor of the great state of Virginia, I should say the great Commonwealth of Virginia. And he was the chairman of the Congressional Advisory Panel on terrorism and weapons of mass destruction. He is former chairman of the Republican National Committee. He's now with the law firm of Kelly, Dry & Warren. He's the president also of USA Secure. He has so many titles. I'm running out of breath talking about him. Governor Gilmore, welcome back to the show.
Good. Thank you very much, Jim. It's great to talk to your listeners again.
It's good to have you back, as always, and I appreciate your time, and of course, I appreciate your service. We just finished Memorial Day, Governor, as you know, and I know you're like me. You had many folks that you thought of fondly over that holiday.
Well, I certainly do, Jim, and I'm a veteran myself. I was in the United States Army back in the 70s in the Army Intelligence Corps, and in addition to that, I still chair the Board of Visitors of the United States Air Force Academy. So I feel very close to people who are in the service, and I honor those veterans who have died for their country and think very closely about them. My dad was a veteran, too, just like mm-hmm. many dads who are out there listening right now.
Absolutely. And, Governor, I want to talk a little bit about some of the politics. I want to talk about that first. Some of the politics that's going on these days. What do you make of this little, some people call it a cabal, some people call it the group of 14, some people call it the gang of 14, seven members each of the Democrat and the Republican Party who came together and basically, in a way, they kind of hijacked the direction of the Senate. What do you think about all that?
Well, I think they pretty much did. Here's I have a couple of thoughts about this. One is the whole issue of the filibuster. There's been this rule that says that the Senate just gets to debate something forever and ever, and you just can't call the question because it requires 60 votes. But historically, that's applied to legislation, not to the actual vote on people who are going up for judicial appointments. The trouble with this is that by agreeing to this, we have in fact said that it requires a 60-vote majority, a supermajority, in order to confirm judges and justices of the United States Supreme Court. There's a constitutional duty to advise and consent. And now what we've done is we've said that a small body or a real strong minority can now say that you can't advise and consent.
What does advise and consent mean?
Pardon?
What does advise and consent mean?
It means you historically to vote up or down on whether or not a judge is qualified to sit on the court or not.
So basically it means it has historically, with only maybe a couple of exceptions historically, it has meant that anybody that the president puts up as a judicial nominee gets a vote up or down.
It does. There's been a historical precedent in the past. I think that there's been reported that Abe Fortas was blocked.
Right.
During the Lyndon Johnson years, so there's all this blame to go around on both sides. But the trouble is that now, by doing this compromise, we've enshrined the idea that advice and consent requires 60 votes, because that's the only way you can cut off debate.
But it didn't, though. I mean, nobody said that the nuclear or the constitutional option, depending on who's naming it, the option that the majority has to basically abolish the filibuster on judicial nominees, that option is still on the table, though, isn't it?
It is now, yes. And that brings you to the second point, which is my take on the senators who got together to do this. First of all, this really, I think, helped the Democrats a great deal. They wanted to maintain their control of this judicial nomination process. So I think this helped them a great deal. So I didn't see that the Democrats who were participating in this so-called group were giving up much anything. I think they were just playing the game their party wanted them to play. But on the other hand, the Republicans that did this, I think it was a lack of leadership. And right now, around Washington, they're being touted, and many of the newspapers around the country, they're being touted as being very courageous and standing up to tyranny and all that kind of thing. You know, I think it was a lack of leadership. Sometimes when you're facing things that have to be done, you have to just kind of do tough things. Memorial Day teaches us that. And
that's
these
right.
guys backed away from the tough duty that is required of leadership.
Governor, stand by. Governor Jim Gilmore, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He and I will be back right after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend, Governor Jim Gilmore, former governor of Virginia, and now he's with law firm of Kelly, Dry, and Warren, but he has many other things going on, and Governor, one of those is USA Secure.
Yes, it is. It's a small group that I put together to work on homeland security issues. We're limiting it to just a small number of people, but we're working on a lot of policy issues, particularly right now bioterrorism.
Mm-hmm.
But we have formed a larger group now called the National Council on Readiness and Preparedness. It's for small businesses, for businesses that can't participate in homeland security in any other way. This gives them a chance to have an organization of their own. And in addition to that, individuals, particularly police, fire, rescue, emergency services, can come in and take a membership. And those memberships at this point are free. People can look on the website, NCORP, NCORP.org.
Right.
And we're going to make that a nationwide large body of people that are interested in homeland security.
They, especially for, and including small business owners.
That's correct, especially
right.
for small business owners. And we may ask a small dues on from them, but nothing like we were doing with
But this will
sure.
also give them an opportunity to sort of network with other folks and maybe find business opportunities, right?
Yes, indeed. That's the plan.
And that's NCORP? Say it again.
NCORP, in National Council on Readiness and Preparedness, NCORP.org.
NCORP.org.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. You know, Governor, one of the things, just a little bit more on what happened in the Senate last week with the judicial nominees. As I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again, it seems to me that one of the problems we got is the Democrats haven't come to terms with not being in the majority, and the Republicans haven't learned how to be in the majority. What do you think?
Well, it would seem that way. I'm disappointed by what happened because there are some times that you have to do the tough things. You know, politics sometimes is not about being popular all the time and looking like a good guy. It's about getting the job done for the American people.
The people who voted you in as a majority.
Yes.
You know, where's the responsibility of those people?
That is correct. And so, you know, the folks that got it, predictably enough, the people who abandoned the Republican Party are touted as and fated as somebody that's really, you know, visionary and
courageous.
Easy to get along with and all that kind of thing. But somehow the conservatives always have to go along to get along, and the left always gets to stand on their principles. I don't know why that is. You know, this is a two-way street in this country, and the people are entitled to elect people who will get the job done. And I think blocking judicial appointments by a majority vote is not in the Constitution. So
we have
sort of a new rule now that's very troublesome.
One of the things that it seems to me that those Republicans did was to say, you know what, it looks like we're going to win the game. Why don't we just slow up and let's not beat them too badly. Let's just beat them by a little bit, and you know let's let them gain on us. So they sort of gave them back some you know the opportunity to score and you know and to use a sports analogy and to me that's you know when you have a chance to win you win.
Well, the challenge is that this is not about these judges. This is about the United States Supreme Court. and we're on our way to a judicial nomination here in just a few days. And this, of course, affects that. It means
you think there will be a Supreme Court nomination in a few days?
Yeah, that seems to be the speculation. Mm-hmm.
William Rehnquist, the Chief Justice.
Yeah, that's right. Nobody seeks this, by the way. Justice Rehnquist has been a great justice.
Well, he's been ill.
A long time.
Exactly.
But he's just not well, and I think that there's an expectation that perhaps he may step down, and the president will then appoint a replacement. So that's what this is all about. And, you know, when you get into the Supreme Court, you know, historically the Republicans let some judges just go that really they should have probably opposed, but they didn't want to play judicial politics at all. So you see Souter on the court, you see Breyer on the court, you see Ginsburg on the court. Mm-hmm. She was a well-known liberal judge or actually just lawyer mm-hmm. before she was appointed. And we let these people go and not argue about it. And the other big picture problem, Jim, is that now we all kind of understand that politics is now sort of affirmatively, we know, being played on the bench. This is not good. Mm-hmm. I think we need to find a judge that will follow the law and to not be a judicial activist and to listen to what the Congress enacts and to get away from all this politics, and you'll have less of this fighting at the national level over the judicial system.
Well, now, if what you're saying comes to pass in the next few days, and I think you're right about this, Chief Justice Rehnquist retires, and God bless him, and we wish him all the best. He's been a wonderful public servant for many years. He retires and moves on, and if the president moves someone from inside the Supreme Court to the Chief Justice position, won't that make two fights? The new Chief Justice will have to be confirmed and a replacement for that person?
Oh, that's correct. And there's speculation that he might move Justice Scalia to the chief position.
Which would be one battle in the Senate.
And then a second battle to replace Scalia,
mm-hmm.
if that should happen. Or he might just go outside for the chief justice.
Bring somebody like Ted Olson or somebody like that in to be the replacement and the Chief Justice all at the same time.
That's correct. And quite frankly, we have two really fine jurists here in the Fourth Circuit, Court of Appeals, Justice J. Harvey Wilkinson and Justice Michael Luttig. And both those are just excellent people. I know J. Harvey Wilkinson personally. He taught me law, and he's just a great guy, but they're both great guys. And I frankly think these are two people that it would be very hard for the Democrats to turn down, frankly.
Well, it'll be an interesting summer, it sounds like, in terms of politics. So, folks, don't nod off this summer. It's going to be exciting. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to get Governor Gilmore to tell me what he thinks about how things are going in Iraq right after these messages. And also, how is Homeland Security doing? And we'll do that right after these messages. Tintail, stay with us.
I'm nationwide.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. That's Stones in the background, of course. Governor Jim Gilmore is our guest and our good friend. And Governor Gilmore, I know you're having a good time doing the job, doing the work that you're doing and working with USA Secure and doing the Homeland Security work that you're doing and some of the other stuff that you're doing. But I just think that you're being underutilized in that assignment.
Well,
and I really think that a man of your measure, we need folks like you back in politics. We don't need to lose people of your integrity and your leadership ability. We need folks like you back in politics. And so I'm looking forward to whenever you can announce to us that you're ready to go back into the game.
Well, thank you, Jim. I probably will be a candidate again. I have formed an organization called Americans for Freedom and Opportunity, which is going to give me a chance to really focus on some policy issues and think about policy and politics. And I probably will be a candidate again. I haven't focused yet on doing that because of the work that I'm doing in the private sector.
Well, you know, 08 is coming up pretty quick.
Well, that's a very nice thing for you to say. So, well, you know, but I really want to focus right now.
You don't want to let Hillary get too far ahead of you on that governor.
Well, she's a likely Democratic candidate, I think.
Well, I don't know if she can be nominated. She definitely can be a force. But there's no question in my mind that she's running. It's just a matter of course, there are a lot of things. McMillan, I think, was it McMillan who said, you know, events will decide what's going to happen the next election. So I think there are a lot of events that could happen between now and then.
There's
Governor, let's talk about quickly about Iraq. What do you think? Are we making progress over there?
Yeah, I think we're making progress. I think that we have to remember that this is entirely a political operation that we're engaged in. I think there's a tendency to drop off and say, no, this is just military, that we have to get a different military or a better military or new recruits or run this thing like an anti-guerrilla war and all that kind of thing. Certainly, if there were no military conflict, then the political process would be easier. But the enemy is using force to achieve a political goal. And we have to remember that politics is all this is about, and military is in service to politics. This is the old idea of Clausewitz. That war is just politics in a different form. So we have to remember that, which means I think that we have to understand the politics of the region and the politics of Iraq and to make sure that we're pushing the right people in the right way to win the hearts and minds of the people of Iraq.
But, you know, at some point in time, you know, when are the other Muslims going to get it that these people are not fighting the Americans, they're fighting the Iraqis. They're trying to take away what the Iraqis want for themselves.
I think the people of Iraq certainly wish there would be a quiet and stable homeland with a good political system where they could elect their own people, just like that we, frankly, we aspire to every day, and that's what we hope for the world. But there are people there that feel that they're not willing to engage in that, and so they've turned to military war. And then the other part of it is that there are people that don't want to see the United States militarily occupy a country like that in the region. And they're, of course, fighting us. So we're engaged in a military and a political conflict simultaneously.
I think the argument that they make that they're fighting against us being occupiers, I think that's a canard. I think that's baloney. I think that these are people who do not want the Iraqis to have a democratic country. And I think, that's my opinion. One other, changing over to Homeland Security, you've got some insight into this. Is the United States more secure today than we were 3-4 years ago?
Yes, but there'll be some announcements, I think, on that very, very soon. Almost the entire leadership of the Department of Homeland Security has changed over. And now Judge Michael Chertoff is now the new secretary. He has basically taken a sabbatical with the department and said, we're going to figure out how we're going to reorganize this thing. I've met with him personally and talked over our commission report with him. He seems to be a very businesslike guy, and I don't think he aspires to be a politician.
Right.
I think he just wants to run the organization.
You think they picked a good?
I'm upbeat about it.
You think they picked a good guy?
Yeah, I do. I don't think he had very much experience in Homeland Security or national defense or anything like that. But he's a business-like approach to things,
right.
And so I think he'll pick up the material a great deal very rapidly, and I think that he knows how to run things, and he knows what he wants to do. So I'm fairly optimistic about this.
Now, Governor, when you are ready to announce your next political move, you're going to do that on this show, right?
Oh, well, we'll be back. You can be sure of that.
Give us your website one more time, Jim.
Let's go to the NCORP organization, National
right.
Council on Readiness and Preparedness.org. And also
USA Secure.
Also USASecure.org.
Thank you, Governor. Good job today, and thank you for your service to this country.
Very great. Thank you very
Governor
much.
Governor Gilmore,
yeah,
ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.